There is an outline on the back of the bulletin this morning. You'd like to follow along with the lesson. Very welcome to. I know we have company with us today, so brethren, kind of look around and please share. If you need to, you're welcome to get a bulletin in the foyer if you'd like one to follow along. The lesson from the end of the song we sang, it's not a secret what God can do. We've titled it, What Can God Do? Or what God can do, don't put it in the form of a question. We're going to look at seven things from the New Testament. For example, I have it underlined, God's able to save. It sure is. Second, God's able to help or aid, render aid to us in time of need. Number three, God's able to keep you from stumbling. I need that. I fumbled and faltered. God in His Word is able to build us up. I like that. Number five, what He's promised, He's able to perform. Oh, yes. Number six, He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. Oh, yes. Then number seven, from the text that was read to us, He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all, that I even ask or think. What can God do? Well, that's the lesson this morning. By way of introduction, it's on your notes, but I'm going to tell you an Old Testament story, one you're familiar with. It has to do with King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. He's made his journey from Babylon to Jerusalem, and he's taken capture God's people and brought them back to Babylon. Well, three of the Hebrew children that he brought back would not bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And so because of that, Nebuchadnezzar says, you know what I'm going to do to you boys? I'll throw you into the fiery furnace. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 15, Nebuchadnezzar said, and who is the God who will be able, or who will deliver you from my hand? Who is that God that will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And, not only that, He'll deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, we're still not going to serve your gods, neither will we worship the golden image which you've set up. Wow. So, Nebuchadnezzar bound the three boys. The fire he had heated seven times more than usual. And then he threw them into the fiery furnace. After a while, King Nebuchadnezzar goes to the fiery furnace. He sees that they're not burned. And he says in verse 28, O be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. Nebuchadnezzar. And the three boys, they wouldn't bend their principles, they wouldn't bow down, and because of that, they wouldn't burn. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. Nebuchadnezzar thought at first, who's that God who will deliver you from my hand? And God did. In that same book, the book of Daniel, now Daniel prays three times a day. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar and some of his troops, they didn't appreciate Daniel praying three times a day. So they threatened Daniel to throw him into the lion's den. And then he's thrown in Daniel chapter 6, verse 19. It says, the king arose early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, served continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Well, verse 22, Daniel responds, says, my God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth. They haven't hurt me. Oh, the ability of God. The ability of God. What can he do? Well, let's make the New Testament application. What about your life and mine? We know the Old Testament story. Yes, God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. God delivered Daniel from the lion's den. But I'm not in those situations. I'm not being threatened with a fiery furnace or a lion's den. God, what can you do for me? What about me? In first one, number one, in Hebrews 7, verse 25, he's able to save to the uttermost. Able to save. Here's the verse in its entirety. Also, he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, meaning Jesus, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He saves to the uttermost. We don't use that word very often. But if God saves to the uttermost, who's that? By definition, the way that I think about it, God, if we were all lined up together, God's from the worst to the very worst, he's able to save the last in line. God's able to save those who are on the bottom. God's able to save those who are extreme in their wickedness. God's able to save those who are the farthest away. He is. You know, sometimes people will say to me, or someone says to me, Brian, I don't think God can save me. And they'll give me three reasons. One, they'll say, Brian, I've sinned too long. My sins are too many. And my sins are too horrible. I don't think God can save me. Oh, yes, he can. He saves to the uttermost. Even those who have sinned for too long a time and their sins are too many and they're too horrible. You need a word of hope. God can save you. God's able to save. When Jesus was born, he was introduced in Matthew 1, verse 21, referring to Joseph and Mary. And Mary, she'll bring forth a son. You call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus was born a savior. He will save you. Even if your sins are too many, you've sinned for too long a time, and they're too horrible, he will save. He has that ability. God, can you do that? Oh, yeah. Sure can. Number two, God, what else? In Hebrews 2, verse 18, he's able to help or aid those who are tempted. Here's the verse. It says, therefore, in all things he's been made like his brethren. In other words, Jesus became flesh. He dwelt among us. That, Jesus, why'd you come to earth? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God. So he will make propitiation or an offering for the sins of the people. For in that he himself being suffered, being tempted, yeah, that's right, he became flesh like us, dwelt among us. He was tempted in all points. He's able to aid or help those who are tempted. You see, Jesus once stood where we now stand, just like us. He lived that life. In Hebrews 4, verse 14 or 15, says, within all points, he was tempted like us, but he didn't sin. In 2 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. How do you know? Because he once stood where we now stand. He was tempted in all points like as us. He's able to help us in time of need, when we're tempted, when we struggle. Thank you. Can you save me? I sure can. Can you get me out of this temptation? Oh yeah, you sure can. Number three, God, what else can you do? In Jude verse 24, now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, all with exceeding joy. Right. See, God is able to not only save us, but to keep us saved. I can keep you from stumbling. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, here's how. All right, I hear you, God. Thank you for saying that, but how are you going to do that? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Therefore, well, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Well, my hand goes up. Sometimes I think I can make it. Well, I can fall. No temptation has taken you except as is common to man. The things that tempt you tempt me. They tempt everyone beside you. Temptation is common to everybody. I'm not exempt. You're not exempt. Oh, but God is faithful. Well, God, what can you do? He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also provide a way of escape. God, can you do that? Yeah. That you may be able to bear it. But that way of escape, thank you, God. But I have to take it, don't I? I'm not supposed to stay and flirt with that temptation. I need to, God provides a way. Take it. In Psalm 119, verse 11, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God, are you able to keep me from stumbling?
Yeah.
When you hide my word in your heart. Yeah. Okay. Take God's word to heart. He didn't say, thy word have I kept on the coffee table. He didn't say, God, your word I've kept in the bookcase. No. Didn't say, God's word I've kept in the trunk of my car. No. He said, your word, oh God, I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. With God's word in our heart, God provides a way of escape that we might be able to endure it and take that way of escape. God, can you do that? I sure can. You are able to keep me from stumbling. Thank you. What else, God, can you do? Number four. In Acts 20, verse 32, it says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God. In other words, I recommend God. And to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. God, you can really do that. I'm going to commend you to God and to the word of his grace, Paul said, which is able to build you up. Meaning, God, you can strengthen me?
Yeah.
God, can you fortify me? Can you make me sturdy?
Yeah.
Can you encourage me? Sure can. I can do that. So Paul said, I'm going to recommend, I commend you to God. And again, to his word, which is able to build you up. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, from a childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able, God and his word. What can you do, God? Which is able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know why we encourage Bible study? Bible class attendance? Because God's word is able to make you wise unto salvation. I wholeheartedly recommend God and his word because of its ability, of what it can do. Number five, in Romans chapter 4, beginning of verse 20, he takes you back to the Old Testament, to Abraham. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. All right, now there's a statement. I want to be like Abraham. I don't want to waver at the promise of God in unbelief. Don't do that. Abraham, what'd you do? But he was strengthened in faith. Good. Gave glory to God, being fully convinced that what he has promised, he was also able to perform. And we read about the promises of God. God, can you do that? We might say, well, I know some people over there that promise you the world, but they can't deliver. I know people over here that made me promises and they didn't deliver. Yeah. Oh, but Abraham, he didn't stagger at the promise of God. He didn't doubt the promise of God. He was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Meaning, God, you can accomplish that?
Yeah.
Can you finish the task, God?
Yes.
Can you fulfill your promise?
Yeah.
Can you achieve your promise?
Yes,
sure can. Be fully persuaded of that. Just like Abraham was. Paul told Titus in Titus 1 verse 2. Eternal life. I want eternal life. Which God, who cannot lie, promised. He promised eternal life before the world even began. God, can you give me eternal life? God says, I can do that. I can do that. Number six. Give me so many minutes. I'm able. Number six, in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Here's the whole verse. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. Paul said, for this reason I suffer all things. Why am I going through trials and troubles and temptations? Why am I hanging in there when I have hardships? What about with my life going through some rough times? Why am I hanging in there? Paul says, for this reason I suffer. What's the reason? Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded, confidence, assurance, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed to him against that day. Yeah. God, can you keep that which I've committed unto you? Yeah. Sure can. I know him whom I have believed. Paul was certain about his future because of him whom he believes. God's able to keep it. The last one, number seven, is in our text that was read to us. Ephesians chapter 3. It says, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus in generations forever and ever. Amen. God, what can you do? First of all, he just says, I'm able to do. I'm able to accomplish what I've said. I can do that. Well, but then not only can I do, God is able to do exceeding. So what God does, he's able to do it over the top. He's able to do it better. And then he has another one. I'm able to do that abundantly. God can work over and over and over again. You see what he said in that verse? God, you're able to, and he piles it on. God, unto him who is able to do exceeding, abundantly, above all. In other words, beyond. Above all that we ask or even think. God, can you do that? It would have been enough if God, if the verse where it says that God's able to do. You know, what I can do exceeding, and I can do abundantly, and I can do it above all that you even ask or think. God can do it. Wow. God, you can do more than I can even imagine. God, you can do. You're a can-do God. So we sang that song. No secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It's no secret what God can do. God's ability to save, put in your notes, is a tremendous invitation that we extend to all. Remember those first points? God can save to the uttermost. There's nobody too bad, too horrible, or who has committed too many sins for too long a time, but what God can save. God can save. Don't ever think you're beyond salvation or you're beyond help. At the close of each lesson, we extend an invitation. We give them exhortation for you to make your life right with God if you have not done so already. If you need to repent and be baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that. If you want brethren to give you a word of encouragement or a prayer, we can accomplish that. You don't even need to respond for that. You can just talk to someone next to you after our closing prayer and say, "Will you give me a word of encouragement? I'm going through a hard time." Yeah, we can do. That's why we're here. Let me help. You know, God has helped me so much. Let me help you. God of comfort. When Jesus gave his last words before he ascended back to the Father, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, he says, "All authority has been given and on earth." He has all the authority. It shines him. He has all the authority. So he tells his disciples or apostles, "Go into all the world. Make disciples of every nation. Don't leave anybody out." Oh, what about the worst? Don't leave anybody out. Oh, this one's so horrible. Don't leave anybody out. Go into all the world. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Stay with him. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records it in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature, everybody. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's a salvation message. God, can you do that? Yeah. Yes, he can. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. It's number 909. If you want to respond in a public way, you're very welcome to do so. At the close of this song, let's stand together with a song.